How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Tuesday, which means it's the John and Wayne show, and we have so many. Oh, I got the air horn. I'm feeling it. We got a lot of stuff to get to today, which I'm really, really excited. Wayne, how are we doing today, man?
How are we doing? Good. We're doing real good, man. I started something new. I started intermittent fasting. I think that's how you say the word.
That's what's up.
And I'm trying to find all my energy, but I feel like the energy is flowing. You know what the key to intermittent fasting is? Sleep.
Oof.
Which is
You're
tough.
You're better man than me. Now, for those of you that don't know, every single time Wayne jumps on and we're backstage for 6 years now, Wayne is eating every single time. Every single time.
I ate right before. So my schedule. All right. So same schedule, but I was able to cook and eat before I got on here, because I needed to eat more of a full meal opposed to the little snacks I'd be snacking on. So less snacking, more whole foods too.
Well, you're the man, dude. And well, we're about to eat on this episode because we got so much stuff to get to. Let's go. And I feel like, you know, after a win, gosh, three straight losses, everything just is rough, but the win kind of satisfies so much. And so like this week, and it's a short week, so we don't even get to enjoy the win. You got like a few days, you know, I'm flying through film. I don't know about you,
bro.
You
guys,
yeah. It's just like, all right, we got to go. Like we got a full game. And imagine like it's for us. The team, the players, the coaches, these short games. I mean, even whenever, you know, I was in coaching, we played Mansfield ISD was in our division, and they had like a rule that they had to share stadiums, which means every time you played a Mansfield school, more often than not, you played on Thursdays. Man, those weeks, oh, you're not sleep. Like, it's just rough. So the players, the coaches, they're going through a lot of it. It's a lot. And so here we go. Let's start talking Javon Hargrave. Probably the biggest news today, Javon Hargrave signs an extension, but it's not a typical extension. Shout out to Jason from Over the Cap. He got the details and kind of released this. So first off, Hargrave is likely cut. It's basically – it was a deal for the 49ers to give them a little bit of extra cash in order to save a bunch on the cap this upcoming year. So let me give some details, and I want to hear what Wayne's thoughts are on this. Hargrave's 2025 salary is reduced from $20 million to $2.1 million. This allows the salary cap hit next year that was going to take place to go from $24 to $10.3. So essentially, the 49ers get $14 million more to spend in free agency, but it's going to be a post-1 June cut. this was, hey, we're going to give you a couple hundred grand. I don't know what the numbers are there, so that's speculation. We're going to give you some extra money so that you help us with cap relief. We're going to cut you. You can move on whether you're healthy or not. What are your thoughts with the whole Hargrave situation experience that's happened here?
Yeah, I mean, the Hargrave situation is almost like the Dee Ford situation with the San Francisco 49ers. They found a guy they thought that was going to come in, was going to be able to fit the scheme defensively, and unfortunately, they paid him a lot of money, and unfortunately, they couldn't stay healthy. And the Niners, it sounds like the Niners and Hargrave are in agreement for him to be cut and then probably get an opportunity to play elsewhere for a different team and on a one-year deal. He'll probably get one of those one-year deals from a different team, prove-it-year deals. And the Niners, this says a couple of things for me. Like, the Niners, one, are going to move on from Hargrave. Two, they're probably 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10 going to address the defensive tackle position in the draft. And then three, they kind of like the rotation that they have. That's going on. They got Collins for another year. I think Jordan Elliott for another year. And listen, I like Hargrave. I want to see him thrive here with the San Francisco 49ers, but I think this is where the Niners are showing that they're going to cut their ties a little early rather than later, right? A little sooner rather than later. And so for the 49ers, again, this benefits them to give them money post June 1st. That's important. Post June 1st, so that means a lot of the free agents would be pretty much, the good ones will be gone, but they'll get $14 million back. And then the Niners know how to kind of like manipulate and work their money, right? And so we got plenty of money. I feel like we got money now on the salary cap. So I think
most in the NFL.
Right. So I think that's what the Niners are going to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he just couldn't stay healthy. I know his production wasn't what we expected it to be. We were looking for those double-digit sacks from the interior. I don't know how much of that is on him or how much that's on the scheme, but we do know that our defensive scheme has been a little shaky since the changing of coordinators and stuff like that over the 2 years, 3 years that he was here. So, yeah, man, sad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, Nigel says, why cut him? Why not trade him? You can't trade that contract.
It's too big.
It's
too
huge,
guaranteed.
Man.
Yeah, it's too big. Yeah.
And especially with his production, the injuries, he's not healthy. And so this basically sets the stage for the Niners. Whether he's healthy, they can cut him. Or if he's not healthy, they can cut him. It was kind of a gentleman's agreement behind the scenes. Hey, man, we're going to give you a little extra cash. You provide us with some cap relief. We're going to move on regardless. Do us a solid on your way out. This allow you to go elsewhere, whatever else. And, you know, again, one of my favorite things about the NFL is generational wealth that is developed. Javon Hargrave now has $68 million made in his career. Mm-hmm. Pretty freaking awesome. That is something to celebrate for him and his family as he heads out. And so now, you know, right here, Lee, the Hargrave signing was terrible. I think you grade it now. The fact that he's probably not going to play for us again, it was awful. Lee says this, the Hargrave free agency whiff was as bad as the Latu pick. What do you say there, Wayne? You at least got something.
I think the Hargrave is worse. When you draft players, they're hit or miss.
Yeah.
You're not going to always hit on drafted players. But when you go and you specifically sign people in free agency, you're expected to hit on those guys.
And that
you know
was
what
the
I'm
biggest
saying?
Deal, that free agency. That was the number one
correct
contract given out.
Correct. So that to me, that's a bigger whiff than the Latu pick. I mean, you guys got to remember, man, when the Niners draft picks, pay attention to the compensatory picks. Those are important because those picks don't matter to the San Francisco 49ers. They'll waste that on, you know, a pack of Skittles and two pack bags of hot fries. They don't really care about compensatory picks. They care about the ones that are set that they had. But those compensatory picks, man, it's like playing with house money. I believe that's what Latu was. I know he's a third-round pick, but if I'm not mistaken, that year he was a compensatory pick.
Like
so,
99, I think, overall.
Yes.
Yeah. It was
yeah,
at
so,
the end of the third.
Yeah, so Lee, you're right. It's a whiff, but the Hargrave thing is way worse, bro. Like you gotta make sure. Like when you get free agents, you're hoping when you trade for players, you're hoping they really fit the mold, right? When you sign players, and that's even worse. Like they really missed on Hargrave, but again, it's just unfortunate because he just couldn't stay healthy, man. Like it's unfortunate. Like the first year he got here. This is his third year, right?
Yeah, Hargrave. This was his second year.
This was his second year. The first year he got here, he played, and I think he got hurt down the stretch. So blah, 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 blah. And then this year he got hurt early. All right, so you don't even get 3 years out of him on his contract. But if it's almost one of those things, man, if you could find an out or a way out of something that doesn't look like it's going to benefit you, that's what you do. It's business, man. Business 101, baby.
Yeah. I like that. Well said. Moving off from that, let's change trajectory. I want to do a little bit called Will They Play or Won't They Play? We got a short week. Obviously, this is the Rams. We're going to talk playoffs and how important this game is a little bit later. But, man, there's a lot of injured players, and with the short week, it makes it even worse. So let's go through some of these guys. And, Wayne, I want you to tell us, will they play? This is guess, conjecture. This is before practice reports have come out on Tuesday. So this is just all off of freaking Wayne and how he feels about things and these players. Let's start with Ben Bartsch. Came out, played really, really well, got injured after 10 plays. He's got a high ankle is what they said. Plays or does not play?
He's not playing. I mean, he's destined to go to the IR for the rest of the season. So he's done, man. And it's unfortunate because I felt like he gave that offensive line a different spark, you know, something different. Yeah, some type of cohesiveness, consistency. I was watching one of the film plays, and I was like, man, I kind of wish he was out there because Spencer Burford, you know I love me some Burford, he just missed a block. And I'm just like, bro, if you hit that run block, man, Debo probably going to the house. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm sure Ben Bartsch, you know, it is what it is, but it's unfortunate that he got the high ankle sprain. He's not going to play. He's done for the season.
Yeah. Rick says, you know, I hear some players are coming back. All right, let's do that. Dre Greenlaw. Do you think he comes back?
Absolutely, man. This is the week of the Greenlaw, man. It's a divisional game. You know, the fact that it's a divisional game, he's been practicing consistently for the past couple of weeks. They didn't play him last week because of this short week. I think he's going to be out there playing. He's going to start. Same way we saw Hufanga start last week.
Gosh, we're going to spend a lot of time talking Hufanga. So I have a whole section reserved. I love Hufanga so much. All right, Trent Williams, do you think Silverback is back this week?
Man, it's tough, right? Because it's like, I mean, I want him back. I know Jalen Moore has been playing decent and well. Yes. But, you know, we're talking about a divisional opponent. You know, it all comes down to, like, the practicing. And it's unfortunate that him and Nick Bosa, they haven't really been practicing. So I think Trent, this is the week he returns, though. I think everybody pretty much returns. This is the return week for guys. Divisional game, got to win it. Don't want to go 0-2 and get swept by the Rams. It's not a statement game, but it's one of those games where you just need to come out there and leave it all out on the football field.
And you know what? Real quick, time out from this little segment. I had the wonderful privilege of hanging out with some good friends at the game. Tailgating, and I was talking to some of the old hats. Shout out to my man William. And you know, we have talked about the biggest rival for the 49ers being, you know, Seahawks, Cowboys, Eagles, whatever else. And so I was hanging out with, you know, people that have been around a lot longer than me, and they said, no, you're 100% wrong. It's the Rams, and here's why. They were the only ones that were in the NFC West with us in the past that are still with us. Because we used to be in the NFC West with, you know, Atlanta, the Falcons, and Saints and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always been the Rams. And so I just want to say I'm a victim of circumstance. I'm getting to old. We're getting to old hat status, right? A little bit.
Yeah, I feel like we're teetering that line of OG.
Yeah, we are. I'm 42 years young, man.
43 years old, but yes,
we're on that back. we're rounded the top there. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. So I love this Poison Protector. Appreciate you. Smash Rams Greenlaw. And, man, the physicality returned last week. You get Greenlaw back, it's going to get scary. All right, so now time back in. Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa plays?
I think Bosa plays, man. I think these guys sat on that last week at home to prep for this short week. They knew they were going to beat the Bears. Now it's time to beat the Rams.
Okay, well, here we go. Isaac Garendo with the foot sprain.
Interesting, because Kyle Shanahan talked about him and said he was listed day-to-day. And it's weird, right? Because it's a foot sprain. They didn't allow him to return. I'm sure it's pretty puffed up right now, right? Like, it's a couple of days old. And hopefully, if the swelling and the pain is down, I think he's going to play. I really do. But, you know, it's do you risk that? And I know the faithful don't want to put an injured running back out there because we just have this thing with injured running backs. But I hope he does, man. I like what I saw from the kid as a running back. You know, just got to work on some pass protection things, and he's going to be all right in the NFL.
He going to be all right.
Right. Hey.
I'll say I loved his tape. I've not been an Isaac G guy. I have not been. But I thought that he played with a lot more aggressiveness. I thought he was more decisive. Even whenever his decisions were wrong, I don't care. Like, there was one cutback where if he followed the crease, dude mm-hmm. hits his head on the goalpost mm-hmm. went the wrong way, but he still got positive yards. So, like, it was like a six-yard run on first down, I think. So, like, man, I'm cool with that. Just don't hesitate. I used to tell my players this all the time. Look, if you're going to make a mistake, make it 100%. Make it full speed, and we can live with that. You not knowing what to do and just sitting with your feet in quicksand helps nobody no matter what you decide. So football's quick. You got to feel it. And you played running back. You were a running back guy.
Like, oh, yeah, man.
It's instincts, man. And so if you're hesitating and thinking and wide-eyed, we're in trouble. You just make your decision 100 miles an hour, and, man, we saw the speed.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I think it all comes down to, John, like, you know, I remember my first carry, right? I was nervous as shit. I was so nervous. My first carry was a touchdown, too. Do you know how nervous I was? It was a dive right on the goal line, and I all I wanted to do was get in, and I'm like, I'm jumping over the top. Dad, I'm getting in. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Flipped you scored over. A touchdown on your first play?
First carry of my high school career was a touchdown on a halfback dive on the goal line, bro. And I was getting in. But I was nervous. I was like, what if I run the wrong way of the handoff? What if I run, like, any little thing, you know what I'm saying? And so I think, you know, it. But the more I played, guess what? The more calm I got, the better I was in route running. You know what I'm saying? Like, it comes down to reps, man. I think we're all smart enough and wise enough to say when players go out there and make mistakes, it's because they're just not out there consistently enough. You know what I'm saying? They're not getting targeted enough. They're not getting the reps that they need. I think Isaac Arendo, as a starter, got better as the game went along. I think the blocking got better as the game went along. And I think he started to really feel his presence as a running back. You know what? I'm actually a running back in the NFL. I can do this. And when he hit that misdirection 30-yard gain, I was like, oh, I'm about to hit the LL Cool J bad joint. I was like, he's a muscle bound. He about to be dope. He's going to be good. But I kept trying to tell the faithful about this kid. And I get it. Explosive guy, didn't play a lot in college, dealt with a lot of injuries, but it was something about his explosiveness. I said that's why he was drafted. That and his speed. So the more he plays football, the more he sees it, the more confident he's going to be. He's kind of like, he's once his pass protection gets better, he's replacing Elijah Mitchell, bro. Like, that's exactly who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, Big you're back. Not wrong. And I get it for the faithful because we have PTSD. There's so many running backs. Joe Williams, good Lord. Ty Davis Price, you got to be kidding me. Trey Sermon, like, I get it. We spent all this draft capital on running backs, miss. And it looked bad. You drafted a guy that never even started. He had one start in his NFL or college career, but man, he played well. I like this comment from Slick. Appreciate the super chat. Izzy, you're up. Bruh, punish the Rams. Like, this your chance. So
if he's healthy, if not, next man up. Like, that's how we have to play football. If Isaac is good to go, and he gets the green light, he practices well, he should be up. You're right, Slick. But if not, Patrick Taylor, PTJ, time to get it going.
Dude, I thought Patrick Taylor looked good too. Like, right here, Sodia. Yeah, Patrick Taylor looks strong, good person. He just doesn't have any of the
burst.
Flavor.
He doesn't have any of the burst, right? And
he doesn't. And yeah. I was watching the tape. I was like, dude, he does everything the coach wants you to do on everything. Mm-hmm. He is a robot. He just ain't got the skills. He's a savvy vet without any of the flash.
Yeah. Is he kind of like, nah, because I felt like Tico had a little flash. It was a little slow, but it was a little flash. Tico wrong?
Tevin Coleman?
Yeah, I thought he had a little flash. He was a good pass catcher, too. You know
he
what
had
I'm saying?
Speed early in the day, but it later.
Yeah,
whenever
not
he
when he got
Cubs.
To the Niners. Nah. The
I remember
speed
him
gone.
At Indiana, man. That dude was a blazer.
I don't remember him in Indiana. Nah, Atlanta, bro. Him and Devontae Freeman.
I'm talking in college, my bad.
Oh, my bad. You're probably right.
I want to make sure I'm right here because I'm going to hate myself if I'm wrong.
No, you're probably right.
Yeah, Tico Raw. That's his thing. He doesn't. Yeah, Indiana. There we go. We both right. We both
Hoosiers.
Right. Yeah, man. They have a year this year, too. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Right here, Nigel. If Garindo is good to go, is he be the third down back or Vaughn? Yeah, they want it to be Garindo, but they will spell him with Patrick Taylor. And then Vaughn, he's the next guy. But now that you've had a full week of practice, don't forget, we got Abakananda. I'm sure I said that wrong.
No, said it right.
Coming in as well. So, like, we getting them. They just keep coming, man.
I think he would be a guy that you kind of like. If you're trying to change the game up with the speed, he'd be that change of pace back, right? Because he does have the speed. Now, how well will he pass pro? How well will he be out of the backfield? That's another question. But as far as speed, if we're going to introduce that misdirection type running again, which was one of the cool adjustments in this game,
dude,
I like
it. Can we talk about the game plan offensively? It's not but play action passes, misdirection, mm-hmm. ran the ball consistently. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a clinic, man.
I think the Bears defense finally gave Kyle Shanahan the looks that he wanted. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They say that cover three off, man.
Kyle's like, y'all, please. Kyle's
that's what we do. That's what we do to other teams.
That's what I've been trying to tell you, bro. Why do you think they be gashing us up? I mean, like, man, if another team would just play the way we play, we'd be fine. But teams come out cover one, cover two. Like, that cover two was really screwing up Kyle Shanahan's run game plan. It was, which I don't get it, but they had more people on the short pass game, so we couldn't really pass the way we wanted. Then they'll come up and it was just weird, man. It was just weird. But I thought Kyle Shanahan, I thought the players definitely executed almost damn near to perfection, bro. Like, it was execution after execution. It was execution. And even on the plays where there were, where we had four offensive penalties, like, even on those penalties, we were able to, like, overcome the majority of them, right? Like, I still don't want the penalties, the false starts, the offensive holdings. You know, one got called back, Brock Purdy, the zone read option.
So yeah, zone how funny read. Was that? How funny was that? Brock Purdy could have had a better game. Like, we took off a, you know, a rushing touchdown.
Touchdown. Man.
Dude, Brock's going to if Brock has proven anything this year, he wants to run the damn ball. That's a zone read, and he didn't even get a clear read to pull.
He was supposed to hand that ball off, though. But hey, he took it. He took it and scored. He's like, I could outrun this big mother trucker.
He did, too. Didn't touch him. Didn't touch him.
But unfortunately, you saw the shoulder pad grab.
It was a hold. It was a hold.
Yeah.
It was a hold. That's what it is. All right, let's go this. Let's change directions. I feel like one of the things or narratives that kind of jumped off on this Bears game, players that have been holding the 49ers back seem to excel this week. And so I want to know which player kind of surprised you the most that perhaps has been seen as a down performer this year that played really, really well. Jake Brendel, Campbell, both those guys had great games. Robert Beale, he showed up. Colton McKivitz continues kind of be Colton McKivitz, but positive. Eric Saubert. Was there anybody that you saw that was like, hey, if they play this way, we're going to be all right?
I mean, I understand Jake Brendel played a lot better than what he played way better than what we've seen him play before. He still had a missed block in that game, though.
He's always going to have missed blocks, but like, he had effort. He wasn't blocking.
I could dig it. The effort was there for sure. I don't know, man. The offensive line has kind of just been what it has been. Like, right? They've been piecing themselves together, and they've been not really giving up a lot of pressures. And, you know, Dominic Pooney was good. I think everybody was just good. He had a missed block too. But everybody, I don't know, man. Eric Saubert caught a pass. I don't know if I really give him a pass for catching the pass, bro. You're supposed to catch a pass. You tight end, you catch
blocked
a pass.
Well, though, there were a lot of good blocks too in there by 82. I was surprised several times. I was like, ooh, that's a good block. Ooh, that's a good block.
I'll give it to Jake Brendel. Definitely wasn't expecting Jake Brendel to play as well as he did. But, you know, anomaly game or trending upwards? I don't know. We'll find out this week, because now you got a freaking front. A young, energetic, aggressive front that's going to be looking to take advantage of the San Francisco 49ers. I'm excited.
Yeah, Jake Brendel, I'm critical of him all the time. I want to give him his flowers. 82.6 grade, his second highest grade of his NFL career, which isn't that high. But, hey, man, you play that way, we're going to win some games. So, hopefully, that is here to stay. All right, we've got some questions on talking about – oh, look, I'm sorry, I missed this one. Shout out to my man Malik in the chat. He says, morning, gentlemen. Appreciate y'all helping me start this Tuesday. Appreciate you helping us with the pronunciation, but we are so glad you're here. Thank you for the super chat. You are the freaking man. I love it. I love it. Let's get to some playoff chat here. Let's talk about this, okay? Aaron Rodriguez. John, what is the best path to the playoffs to still believe in? And Wayne closes his eyes and starts shaking his head from side to side, not up and down. Let me give you the percentages, then we'll let Wayne break it down for us. This is the historical percentages to make the playoffs. Right now, you're 6-7 with a 22% playoff opportunity. Okay, 22%. You win this game, go to 7-7. That goes up to 34. You lose this game, go down to 6-8. Goes down to 9%. So now that you know the odds, never tell me the odds. Wayne is rubbing his eyes in a non.
well, I mean, because it's not over. It's not over for the 49ers. It's unfortunate, though, that they kind of technically need to find a way to win out, right? Why? Because it just boosts their percentage. That's number one. That's what happens. It boosts their chances and opportunities of getting in the playoffs. And I think we've said this. We just need to get in. The type of season that we've been having, we just need to get in. Here's it. Don't let us in. And I don't think they're trying to let us in. Hear me out. Yeah. I watched the Rams and the Bills. I watched the Bills struggle against the Rams. Now, I know we lost to the Rams, and I know that it was a high-scoring game. Not one of those teams were playing any defense, obviously. It was damn near a shootout. I mean, the Rams ended up with a special teams touchdown, too. That really helped put them over the top. But if the Bills are this juggernaut, why are they struggling against, you know, that type of a team? So I'm like, all right, they let the Rams win. Cool. Listen, when the last time Seattle beat Arizona, bro? Like, come on, Arizona. They had one job, you know, and it was to beat Seattle, which would have boosted our odds of getting in to the playoffs. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. So the Niners are in the predicament where they got to find a way to win out and then probably get a little bit of help from some of these other teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Shout out to our man, Sean Mosquito Killer. Don't lose. That's the only
way.
You get to 10 wins with 7 seeds, you're probably getting in, because then your conference record's going to be positive. You're going to be 3-3 in the division. You're going to win a few tiebreakers. You'll get there. Did I miss one?
Uh-oh. Nah, you're right, though. I was just reading some of these comments. Oh. Steve says Rams not running 42 times on us.
Like, No, they're not.
Of course not. So it's going to be different, man. That's why we got to go out there, take care of business on Thursday night, man. Simple as that.
Yep.
Punch the Rams back in the mouth.
Yeah. It's this. If you don't win this game, the conversation's over. If you lose one of your division games, you can go 4-1. You're not making the playoffs. If you lose two, you'd be 9-8 and you'd be on the outside looking in, because you'd lose every statistical tiebreaker. You have to win the two division games. Shout out to my man Bobo. Always good to see you in the chat. He says if they somehow make the playoffs, that'll be one of the most memorable seasons ever. Why not? Why not us? Why not us?
Why not us? Here, mark my words. Don't let the 49ers into the playoffs. I'll leave it at that.
Don't let us in. Shout out to Bro Montana in the super chat. Favorite victory Tuesday, gentlemen. I love it. Happy holidays. We needed that win. And yeah, right here, Captain Jace, appreciate you. Playoffs started on Sunday for us. That's what it is. Now we can't get in. Michael, he says 9-8 tie with all NFC West, 3-3 in division game gets us in. Yeah, but again, what game you lose? Yeah, so you're the 3-3 division. You have to lose. The Miami game would be the ideal if you had to lose one. The second would be the Lions, but that's a conference game. Might hurt us on the tiebreakers. But yeah, depending on what happens to other teams, we would be in. So there's two paths. As long as you lose only to Miami and then maybe lose to the Lions. But if you win all five, you're in. That's what it is. It's what it is. But I'm excited. Now, again, I'm not saying to do this, but if you feel the Niners are running the table, dude, you put money on the 49ers to make the playoffs right now, it is astronomical. And if you are going to do it, here's where you do it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Now, I do want to talk about this. Shout out to my man, James. He says, wet weather for next Thursday in Santa Clara, FY. Now, I will say this, and I hope this doesn't upset anybody. If it rains, we ain't winning that game. I'm sorry. We like Brock Purdy in the rain or wet weather. I wish, and I love him, and I want him to be the quarterback for the next decade. Now, I just pulled up. Now, this is, again, at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday. This is on my weather app. There is a chance of precipitation, but it's supposed to all happen early and supposed to be done at noon. It's supposed to be down to 0% precipitation. Weather's very hard to predict. I understand that. But it does look like it might be a little rainy early on, but then that's done. If that's the case, not really a factor. But, yeah, keep checking that weather. And I'm sorry. If it's raining and Brock Purdy's the quarterback, I love him, and he should be the quarterback, and hopefully he whatever – I'm staying away from that game. So this Thursday, there's rain early in the morning, but not at game time. Does that affect the way you see the game at all, Wayne?
I can't lie and say that it doesn't affect, because we just know how, you know, the Purdinator plays when there's any type of precipitation happening. Like, you know, it seems like the whole damn 49ers team forget how to play in weather, inclement weather. But you know what, man? The game plan in Buffalo is to run the ball.
And we it was ran. A good game plan offensively.
We were about to run the hell out of that ball, too. As you can see, the Rams did the same thing. But what happened was, when the player got injured, man, I think it just sucked the whole life out of what we were supposed to do. Like, and then we just fell behind. Now, against the Rams, if it's our home field, I think we'll run the ball again. I think that'll be the game plan. They got to prove they can stop the run. And I don't think they can stop the run. And yeah. So I'm with that. Now, will Kyle stick to that? Probably not. First five plays probably be pass plays. But you know, we'll talk about that tomorrow on the game plan. I'm excited. Well,
that's over on Wayne's channel. And I think I said he'll never have a good game of the raid. That's all I'm saying. Thank you, James. I'm saying I'm staying away from, you know, betting anything, whatever. Does seem like you have like the slip balls and, you know, what it's just not his strength. That's all. That's all. Not saying he can't win in the game. I apologize. Probably went too far with that one. But, yeah, I'm hesitant is all I'm saying. That's all. We got to get this. Let's get it. Now, let's talk about a positive. That defense looked physical, looked mean, decisive, no blown coverages. How much of that was Talano Hufanga out there? Because he was calling the entire secondary.
He called the whole secondary. I always said that communication is key. And he learned how to communicate from the best. Yeah. People forget how great Jimmy Ward was on this defense. And what made Ward great was going through all the fire, all the bad seasons, all the injuries. But you know what he knew how to do? He knew how to communicate. He knew how to tell people where to be, blah, 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 blah. They look to him. That's what makes him a leader. And I remember having that conversation about him being the leader. And unfortunately, he got hurt the year after he became an all-pro. But you can tell they look up to him. He is a natural-born leader, whether he wears a C on his chest or not. I know when he played 39 snaps in this game, I'm expecting him to play more snaps this weekend on Thursday Night Football, because the moment you took him out of the game, John... Yeah, touchdown.
2-7 just needs time. I think it just needs time. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. One of those people that's like done with Jair Brown. Just
he's still developing.
Him,
yeah.
Let him sit and learn.
Yeah.
And he's, man, I think he'll be pretty good on special teams. And like, man, as a number three safety, that's ideal. Yes, he gave up a touchdown as soon as he came in. It's been rough. And again, you know, I've said offensively, Jake Brendel has been the player that held him back the most this year. Defensively was Jair Brown. You make that one swap plus D'Amador Lenore. Now, keep in mind, Nick Bosa wasn't even out there. Mm-hmm. And we shut this team down.
Mm-hmm.
Down.
168 yards. I don't know how you do not commend the defense. I don't know how you do not commend Nick Sorensen. I'm the type of person, if I'm going to constructively criticize and crap over a guy, I got to give a guy the motherfucking round of applause when they come out with a good game plan and the players go out there and execute it. It took them a little second to make those adjustments when they went that no huddle, hurry up offense in the third quarter, but they made the adjustments. And I think that's the only thing, that's the most important thing. They made the adjustments. I like what I saw from D. Winters. I love what I saw from Evan Anderson again. I love what I saw from Robert Beal Jr. I love what I saw from Sam Okwuanu. I think that's how you say his name. I just loved what I saw. We can't not talk about Yetur Gross-Matos and his 3 sacks. We cannot not talk about Leonard Floyd and his 2 sacks. We cannot not talk about, you know what I'm saying, these guys. Like, these guys definitely showed up. And shout out to Evan Anderson, who's probably been a rising star since he's been there. And he played 13 snaps in this game, John. And this dude had the brain capacity to say that was a fumble. I'm going to jump on it. Now, what would have been even greater is if he would have just picked that shit up and ran it in, sorry, picked it up and ran it for a touchdown and would have got his first career touchdown. After that, you want to know why this Hargrave situation is going on? Evan Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah, Evan Anderson has shown he only got 14 snaps, but damn, he's good. So impactful, does what he's supposed to do. And right here, Moon Man, I started this earlier because I wanted to do a whole defensive segment. I am not a Nick Sorensen guy by any stretch of the imagination.
None of us are.
Yeah.
I don't think any 49er fan is.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's okay.
So Moon Man says this, John and Breezy, do y'all trust Sorensen against the Rams with short passing game versus the quick passing game and all those things? We'll see. Now, I will say this. Sorensen has had his worst defensive games against good offensive game planners. KOC, McVay, like, they have taken him to the woodshed.
But he's also not had his full arsenal out there to where he can lean on the players and get stuff done.
Yeah.
If Dre Greenlaw is back and Talanoa Hufanga is back, like, that right there just enhances his game plan because the execution of the game plan is going to be great. Now, we played a lot of zone in this game, and so I'm expecting to do the same thing. You're going to give up the underneath, and you got to be there to make the tackle and try to force, you know, the ball to pop out or whatever. But it's all about wrapping and tackling. We only have four or six missed tackles in this game,
four.
I believe.
Four missed tackles.
And so, like, that is the key. They're going to have to wrap and tackle for sure. But I trust him because he's starting to get players back. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's key, man. Imagine getting your leading pass rusher back up there, which Nick Bosa is no longer the leading pass rusher. Now it's Leonard Floyd. But, like, imagine getting Bosa back. And now you got Floyd, who looks fully activated. You got these other guys that they're finding their rhythm on the defense. And so now, and with Talanoa Hufanga back playing that cover one, man, listen, I love it. I love it. I think they'll be a little bit better.
Yeah, and remember, last time we played the Rams, they didn't have Puka or Cooper
or
Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
So now those guys are back. They're balling out. Like, we're going to see. And I'm thankful. Like, let's figure it out.
Just take away the run game. That's it.
Yeah. They ain't running the ball 42 times.
Take away the run, John. Take away Kyren Williams and that offense. Look out for a little Blake Corum. They'll probably sub those guys in. Just take away the run and make Matthew Stafford just beat you, man. That's the key. Got to make him throw the ball. I want Matthew Stafford throwing the ball 52 times.
Yeah. That's what I want, too. And I think that's what you got to do. And I will say this. Again, more flowers to Nick Sorensen for how he called this game. He called zone fire blitzes. Haven't done that all season. When we blitz, we go man every single time. There was one play, I think, in the second quarter where we blitz Fred Warner. We drop Robert Beal into coverage. And we run an inverted Tampa 2 with Devondre Campbell. And Caleb Williams was completely confused. He had no clue. We have never put that on tape, but it's like we did this a couple weeks ago too. Like, you don't have to wait to play bad quarterbacks to be creative. And I love how we probably did the least amount of man coverage we have done all season, which is what I've been screaming through the television screen nonstop or at the day. Stop running man. So I thought it was a good game plan, and I loved it. I hope we stay with it. And I think one of the reasons why it was so impactful, communication, no busted coverages. But, man, you go out there the very first drive, very first play of the game, Hufanga gets in the box, makes an awesome tackle in the run game, set the tone. Third play of that first drive, he waylays a dude on the sideline and sets the tone. Like, hey, physicality, this is who we are. Hufanga is Sourdough Sam. He's our mascot for what we are on defense.
And
Greenlaw even more so.
So I like that. So and then you get the Tasmanian Devil to hopefully return to this game, who's going to be all over the place. Now you got a guy that's going to be all over the field. Now that alleviates the pressure of a guy like Fred Warner, who can just play football. He can play lanes. He can play pass. I mean, that's a big. I know we want to, you know, say that the injuries is the main reason. Yeah, it's a part of the reason. But, man, Fred is doing way too much, in my opinion. And it started off that way, and then the other players just never really developed. You never got a full stint of D. Winters because of the injuries. We already knew that, you know, Devondre Campbell just isn't the same type of linebacker that they're used to playing with, right? And so I thought he was great in tackling in this game, man. He looked like a monster.
He killed DJ Moore on that one tackle. It was like a rough of the passer. You know how you can't land their weight on him?
Rock, paper, scissors, and he just swallowed him up, man. Like, you know what I mean?
And then the very next drive, what does DJ Moore do? Alligator arms it over the middle and drops
absolutely.
The pass.
He don't want to get hit again.
And I get, like, I'm into PFF grades, EPA, all this stuff. I love that stuff. That don't measure physicality. It doesn't matter when you get, what's Mike Tyson say? Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the face. Change the tone. Punch somebody in the damn face. And so this game is everything. Kyle Shanahan has owned Sean McVay in the regular season until this year. Like, I mean, what were we at? Like an 8-win streak? The week 18 game didn't matter.
That last year we lost that last
Carson
one.
Wentz,
I get what you're saying. But, you know, it's funny because even if you go back to that game, we owned him in that game as well. I mean, it came down to a play and their kicker kicking it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I'm not saying this game's going to be anywhat near of a blowout, but the Niners, if they come out with the physical mindset on defense and the aggressive mindset on offense, I just want aggressiveness, period. Period. End of discussion. From the coaching to the players, straight aggression. You got to now. At this point, there's nothing you could do to finesse your way into the playoffs. No. You gotta take your way into the playoffs.
I love it. So back to Hufanga. Let's wrap this up. Have you seen enough from Hufanga to re-sign him? We're already seeing some contract stuff. Do you let him keep playing? What do you think?
I mean, Hufanga was getting re-signed if he didn't get injured. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you drafted some safeties. We got Malik. We got Jair Brown. But the Niners might be looking to do something with this three safety tandem that we've been talking about. Whether we go to, a big nickel, kind of like that Seattle Seahawks defense that they had, the Legion of Boom kind of type defense. We'll see what happens. But if he's the communicator out there, he's making everybody better. So I don't see anybody graduating to that level of play. Communication is key on the football field.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, so here we go. Communication. Debo Samuel is a podcast. He puts everything out there. He tweeted out, which I found out because I follow Wayne. Wayne's the best for all of your information at the Wayne Breezy, wherever you're at, social media. Here is the quote from Debo Samuel. Quote, not struggling at all, not getting the ball, then 6 exclamation points. Debo, everybody seems to be really upset with him. He's upset with not getting the ball. What are your thoughts here, man?
One of my thoughts about his
Debo this season.
I mean, Debo's not having the type of season that I think he wants to have. He's not having the type of season that I think the faithful were expecting from Debo. I mean, it started off like he was going to be electrifying. Then he ends up in the hospital with the pneumonia situation. And it just seems like Debo hasn't really been back to what we're used to seeing. And so, like, you know, you got a lot of people talking about Debo Samuel, and I think, you know, he's just the type of person that is going to say something. Like, that's his character. That's who he is. And so there were a lot of takes going on about Debo Samuel from beat writers, posting his stats, saying this and saying that. And then he comes out and says this thing. And so, like, I get it. It's drama. I get it. We're winning. I get it. But then again, I what's wrong with it? Like, I don't understand. I mean, I watched George Kittle and a presser basically say the same damn thing.
Yeah.
I'm not targeted. I need
to
target. I'm not getting the ball. Give me the ball. Even though, you know, so I don't see what's the problem. Like, Kittle did it in a presser. Debo does it on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not here to say it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem. I do like what Dave said here. He says, I don't take anything serious unless there's at least 7 exclamation points. Dave's the freaking man. And so, like, if we talk about, like, how much he's getting the ball, he's got 96 offensive touches this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's on pace for what he had last year. It's not on pace with his production. Monumental contract year. Mm-hmm. He's got a 62% catch percentage, which is the second lowest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's low.
It's low, but it's third on the team. So, yeah. It's Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. What do you want me to say? Those are stats. Stats don't lie.
That's where it should be. That's where it should be.
But I'm just saying, like, that's where it is.
He's never been a huge catch guy. Like, no. That's not his
He's been an explosive guy when you get the ball in his hand. And so, he has 4 drops. So, he leads the team with drops. All right?
He used to lead the NFL in drops. His first couple of years, he led the NFL, I think, twice in drops.
Damn. See, I didn't even know that.
He's gotten better.
He's gotten better, John. I just gotta let Deebo live, man. Like, just let him live. Leave the man alone. Let him catch the ball. All right, because you know what, John? Here's the thing, right? And I did my editing for my film. I'm gonna record it today, right? And so I'm saying, let me just focus on Deebo, because I really want to see. He was targeted 3 times in this game. One of the targets, which if you call a drop, I will have to smack the shit out of you, because the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage. So how is that a drop? The second one, the first one he caught was he came back and caught an underthrown pass in double coverage. Nobody complained because he caught the ball. The third one he caught, well, the third target, which he caught because he was 2 for 3, it was a 2-yard gain because somebody missed a block.
Yeah, it was a hole there too.
And so, I get it. His production sucks. Well, it was low. Bang. Way low. Right? I get it. But, I mean, how much of that do you attest to the defense is taking away the weapon? Because that's what it looked like. Deebo hands the ball off in the backfield. Run blitz.
Oh, God. Dude, I said in my breakdown over and over again, look at the emphasis on the Bears' defense. They're focused on Deebo.
Bro.
They're all focused on Deebo. Kittle's wide open plays, you'll see 2 guys fading towards Deebo. Like, and so that's the Shanahan staple. If you want to focus on taking something away, Shanahan's entire thing is, that's cool, we're going to focus on this other thing.
Right, and that's why he doesn't get the targets, because he knows that the defenses are game planning toward him. I think everybody's mad at and listen, Patrick, you're right. Deebo's my guy. We share the same birthday, but I'm keeping it a buck. He's not.
Y'all have birthday? I didn't know that.
We do. He's not having a good season this year. I feel like I'm keeping in a buck, but for him to come out and say he wants the ball, what wide receiver hasn't? Throw him the damn ball. Give him the ball. See what happens. Now, I know the faithful pissed at Deebo because of the Super Bowl performance.
Yeah, that was the worst game of his career.
Hands down. But at this point, like, we are here at this season. I think we need Deebo. And if we can find a team to slip up and play some of this off, forget about Deebo for a second, those explosive plays will be back. We've seen him be explosive this season because the defenses was just not really zoned in on him. Then when he had that one explosive game, I think every defensive game plan says we do not want to get beat by explosive plays from Deebo. We'll get beat by everybody else, but don't let Deebo be the guy. And I think they've just been rocking him every time he gets the ball, John. They're in the backfield. I can't figure it out. And I can't always blame it on the offensive line if they run blitz. It's not the offensive line. Well, I think somebody got to pick up the block.
Yeah. That's why I want more let's do a play action with Deebo in the backfield.
I never thought.
Put Deebo in the backfield.
You said that. The misdirection play was so dope because everybody was on Deebo. My point exactly.
Yep.
That's my point. That's how effective he is. Everybody is on the misdirection 30-yard game by Isaac Garrido, the fake handoff to Deebo to Garrido. They followed Deebo. Garrido just went, phew. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Like, just watch. I know he's not producing. I know he has some drops. I understand. But just watch how they play against Deebo the next time you watch a game. Now, this is the Rams. He usually goes hamburger and cheese. He goes cheeseburger macaroni on the Rams.
Yeah, that's his thing. If you ask Deebo which teams he hates the most, it'd probably be Eagles, Rams, Cowboys.
Ooh.
I think those are the three that he has just feasted on his entire career. Shout out to my man Vince. Appreciate the super chat. Says should be a fun game with both teams. Having great Sundays. Cornerback safety communication was huge. Defense looked competent for the first time in a long time. Well said, Vince. And you know the chat is bumping when we don't. Not only do we have a DMX quote in here, we also got a Ricky Vaughn Major League.
I saw that.
I did it there as well, man. Y'all are bringing it, and I freaking love it, dude. So this game's huge, dude. DMX, my childhood. Are you kidding me? That was everything, man. I freaking yeah. Anyway, shout out to Rough Riders.
Wait a minute. Don't act like y'all never had hamburger helper, cheeseburger, macaroni. That for one, that's the greatest version.
It was awesome.
I didn't want any other hamburger helper. Yeah, like I that was the only one. Sometimes my mom would buy like the other stuff. I'm like, Mom, what the fuck is this? This doesn't even know. Cheeseburger, awesome. Macaroni. I don't care if it was fake. It was good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't care. I'm not here for integrity. I'm here for, there we go, cheeseburger, macaroni. You guys, awesome, man. You guys are great. So we're going to be focusing on the game tomorrow. That's going to be only on a Wayne's channel exclusively. So head over to The Wayne Breezy. Wherever you watch, listen, whatever, doesn't matter. The Wayne Breezy, subscribe to that. That's going to wrap up our show today. Wayne, closing remarks and take us out of here, my friend.
Man, we got some games left, and if we win out, we're going to the playoffs, baby. And here's my thing. Don't let us in, because once we get in, it's about to be over. I can feel the energy of the San Francisco 49ers shifting. And it's not because they beat the Bears. It's how they beat the Bears. And I don't care if it's a bad team. You're supposed to beat the bad teams. And you're supposed to beat the brakes off the bad teams. And there was not one chance that the Bears thought they stood a chance in this game. I know they had a couple of drives. Faithful. Remain faithful at all times. It's going down Thursday night football. Niners going to get that win. Stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.